chair made of wood on a floor made of wood. We perfectly carve a chunk of meat from a bigger chunk of meat. Pavlovian pre-sweat dots your brow and the world melts away as you drift into a meat coma. Wait, was that just Pauly Shore? Welcome to Salt and Smoke.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... a message from the king and his new trumpeter, Stephen. The king wishes me to convey his favor to thine team and thine tailgate. Not yet. He invites thee to let the Bud Light flow forth. And he also wishes me to tell thee that he toasts thee. Waiteth until the end, Stephen! With Game Day's favorite light lager and the slogan of his kingdom... Oh, dilly dilly!
Enjoy responsibly, Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
The Cardinals host the Reds the weekend of August 31st through September 2nd, and there are great giveaways all series long. On Friday night, it's the 8th Beer Stein in the Championship Series presented by Budweiser. Saturday, fans will take home an embroidered Cardinals jersey thanks to TD Ameritrade. And Sunday wraps up the series when kids get their own Cardinals bear courtesy of Build-A-Bear Workshop. That's August 31st through September 2nd. Get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
Swing and another home run. 1-0 Cardinals. Get up, baby. Get up. Get up. Oh, yeah.
On Sunday, September 2nd, bring the family to the ballpark to see the Cardinals host the Reds. That day, 12,000 kids ages 15 and under entering with a ticket will take home their own lovable Cardinals bear, courtesy of Build-A-Bear Workshop. That's Sunday, September 2nd, the Cards, the Reds, and a cuddly Cardinals Build-A-Bear. Get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions. There's only one Cardinals baseball.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex, now with a new DePere location. Stop in with coworkers or clients Monday through Friday from 11 to 4 and enjoy a delicious lunch combo. Choose from 14 flavor-filled entrees, all served with rice, refried beans, and a soda. Or order the tableside guacamole and enjoy the show as your server makes fresh guacamole from scratch just for you. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, 1235 Washington Avenue downtown or 12796 Manchester, just west of 270. Rosalita's Cantina, Tex-Mex. Done right.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
That's right. On a highway, America is the greatest land of all. One of the things that makes it great is the freedom to get in your new Chevy and just hit the road. And if you're going to do that, you need to buy it from this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, John Landoff.
That's almost as annoying as when Mike Evans sips his wine, isn't it? You know?
Oh, wow. Boy, don't tell him. Yes. Don't tell him John
yes,
said that.
Yes, it is.
That's neck and neck.
Hey, were you listening earlier when we talked about the birds flying in a V formation?
You know, Frank, I'm a very busy guy here running the...
So the answer is no.
Empire of Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. So I would love to be able, because I do stream, I do listen here at the office.
So the answer is no.
I've been busy today.
So the answer is no.
The answer is no, I haven't.
Because somebody called, and I think it was Limey. Did you bring up the V thing? And
No, somebody else did. That was actually you who was like, why do they fly in a V?
It was not me. I didn't mention it. But somebody, I guess it was a caller, talked about ducks flying in a V formation. And then my friend the rat at the lake said, he sent me a text. He goes, ducks don't fly in a V. Geese fly in a V. Is that true? You will be the ultimate end. We'll end
that
it with
true.
You. It is
and
true.
To be very firm, it's a Canadian geese. When they're migrating, they're in a V, but you will still see they will transition, from right rear to the front. And it's pretty amazing to watch it. You look up in the sky and you see, you know, lines of Canadian geese as they're migrating in a V and they're honking. Now, snow geese, They're a little confused. They're like in a semicircle, and then they're like all over the place. But they're literally line after line after line. So when you see, like, when they're in a field, they'll get up in groups. My question is, who says, hey, let's get going? Come on.
Yeah, some bird has to be the first bird. And then, yeah. And then what is it we're looking at when we see these? It looks like a black cloud. Is that starlings? Where they're just
yes,
so
I think it
thick
is, actually.
That it looks like a cloud moving, mm-hmm. and it changes shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And who in the group decides...
Why do birds
what?
Suddenly every time you are near.
So now Dan is now taking over the sound and the music. All right, disconnect whatever that is he has so that he can't ever do that again.
I can't.
No, I think that's...
Hold on now. That was Karen Carpenter.
It was. Tremendous okay. voice.
John?
They were like super hits.
No, don't, John, don't say anything else. Don't say anything else. Because I want to say this before you say anything else. I have made it clear many, many times over the years, to me, the purest female voice ever to sing a note was Karen Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
She is my all-time favorite when it comes to just pure, just untrained, natural, pure, beautiful voice, Karen Carpenter. Yeah.
Well, she was.
Yeah.
She was.
Hey, she was pretty good, but she had a beautiful voice and sad. She didn't eat, you know, poor thing. But no, they, great music, a lot of great songs, but, birds, man, you're talking about birds. I love birds. It's, hold on a second, it just makes me want to... Sorry about that, you know.
So who was it in back in history, who was it who decided what birds we eat and what birds we don't eat? Because, like, we'll eat a chicken, but if you look at a chicken, you tend to go, nah, I don't want to eat that thing. Look at that. But then a dog...
I would think that, a thousand years ago, when you're, like, starving, you haven't eaten...
You ate blue jay.
You're going to eat just about anything.
You'd eat a blue jay. You'd eat a pigeon. Hey, by the way, people do eat pigeons. People mm-hmm. that eat pigeons.
Isn't this pigeon pie? Is this dove season now? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
It's rabbit season.
Right around the corner there, Dano. Man, I tell you what, you are sharp today.
I got that. I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yep. It is dove. We call it the it's the duck appetizer of hunting.
Ah.
And, some people absolutely love dove. They just love it. And other people are like, no, here, you can have them. So,
I don't ever, do any restaurants ever serve dove?
Not that I've ever known.
They don't really serve quail. And most restaurants don't serve duck. So what's that true. About? How come birds are not a more popular thing on menus?
Yeah.
Because they got to have too many of them, I guess. And it takes a bunch of them. And then why don't we eat? Like blue jays or robins or something.
I don't think because there's not a lot of meat on them. I guess.
Well, there's not a lot of meat on a quail either.
Well, actually,
quail.
In France, I know a starling.
In France,
is
there's
delicacy.
A place in France where the women wear no pants.
That's yeah.
Thank you.
And there's a hole in the wall where the boys see it all.
That put the brakes on the deal, but no, I tell you what, duck meat. No, I mean, duck is delicious. Oh
duck
gosh.
Is delicious.
Sure, afternoons, and if we do a morning hunt, and so dove season starts Saturday, September 1st. Goes through the entire month.
It's too bad they don't do something with the feathers, because a duck is a beautiful. I'm talking about those green looking ducks. Is that mm-hmm. a mallard or what?
I think so.
What? It's too bad they don't do something with that.
Hold on, Franco. I mean, that's what everybody. Green duck. It's a mallard drake.
I just said mallard.
And their nicknames are the greenheads, and real game hunters. Guys are really people that love ducks. They let the females pass, let the hens pass, and take out the males and eat them, obviously, but.
But that beautiful, what do you call it, duck fur, duck feathers, whatever it is, that's a beautiful green, it's too bad. There's not, can't make seat covers out of that or something.
Agreed. But what is the difference between a duck and a mallard? Like, what is a mallard?
Here to explain that is John Mondo.
We don't call it mallard, okay? I mean,
Oh, sorry, wait.
He's making fun of you.
Wait, will you say it for me, Frank?
Mallard.
Okay. What is the difference between a duck and a mallard?
See? Hey! I love that when he does that.
Mallard.
It's one of the species of ducks. Okay?
Ah, right on.
So you have mallards. You have gadwell. You have pintails.
Oh, hang on a minute. Do you eat these? Do you eat the gadwell and the pintail too?
Yeah, pintails are one of the most gorgeous birds in the world. They have the male has a tail. We call it a sprig. And if you get one, I have one in my basement that I got down. I was down in Louisiana. And it's a 4-inch sprig. It is, I mean, it is gorgeous.
Dan, show him half of 4 inches. Show him what that is. God. Double that, and that's what he's talking about. I've never heard of that. I think I've heard of pintail.
No, you seen this?
But I see that. But primarily the duck that people hunt is the mallard, right?
It's the largest number of birds in North America. So there are more mallards than any other species. So
you know what mallards are also, John? I can't believe this. I'm reading this. They're monogamous.
What?
I'm reading this on a duck website. Most ducks are monogamous with relationships lasting 1 year or longer.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I know.
Who'd want to live like that?
No, that's a different wife every year.
They're only monogamous for a year, then they move on. Oh, yeah. Okay, now you're talking.
I mean, they're monogamous for that whole year. They don't stray in the middle of the year.
Okay, honey, it's you and only you till February. And then move on. Never been duck hunting, and I've told you why. I just would prefer something not so cold and damp, not in the water unless I'm fishing.
All right, buddy. Well, I still want to try to get you out there. You never know.
I will. You know what? I will. One day, I will go with you. And you know why I'm reluctant to go? And I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm reluctant to do it because I'd have to make a decision. Do I outshoot him, or do I let him outshoot me? Do I let him? Because he's an advertiser?
Yep.
I don't know that I have that in me.
You know, it's just like... You know, when you're golfing, it's like, you know, like when we used to golf and I was so much better than you.
Yes, you were. And I had no...
It didn't bother me that I was this much better than you. And,
no, in that case, though, I wasn't letting you win.
It didn't hurt me that I had to help you with your math, your addition, when we were golfing. I'm like, no, Frank, that wasn't a 5, that was a 7, and Frank, that wasn't a 7, that was a 9. But, hey, if you want to outshoot me, it's all about the bag. It's all about... If there's 3 of us in the blind and our limit's 6, you know, we want to walk out of there with as many ducks as absolutely possible. You know, if we can get 18, that's beautiful. If we get 14, that's great. If we just, harvest 7 or 8, it's all about just being out in God's beautiful countryside and doing what we love to do. Harvest ducks and feed the people that absolutely love the meat. And then the other thing, the mallard has the most meat. It's the largest. There are some mallards that can weigh as much as 7-8 pounds. And you think, well, that's not...
Whoa.
That's a big bird, man. It's a big duck. I'll give you an example. I mean, most Canada geese are 15 to 16 pounds. Some can be a huge mature male Canada geese can be 21 pounds. I mean, that's a big bird. They're carrying that out of the field. Just like sometimes, you know, you get a 21, 22-pound turkey. That's a big turkey out in the wild to carry up a ravine, you know, because you're turkey hunting, you're really out in the woods. And, you know, so, God, you're getting me ready for the season.
Well, I can tell. You're getting excited.
This is the season.
To be jolly.
For great deals at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet because we're at the last few days of the month. And the deals here at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet are as hot as those St. Louis Cardinals. Huh? How about them? 16 games over 500.
Well, that new manager has to feel great. You know what?
Have you listened to some of his interviews?
I haven't yet. No.
It's like he knows what questions they're going to ask. I mean, he just seems like and all you hear from the players, I mean, they love this guy. They love him. And who better? You want your team, of course, respect you, but this goes beyond respect. This team, they're fun to watch, man. They are fun to watch. He's letting these young guys get out there, and I mean, they are just pitching up a storm, and they're playing their hearts out. And you know, we're lucky. We're lucky to have a great organization, the Witt family, and not a bad looking ballpark either. We were at the game last night, and it was fun.
How about that Harrison Bader though? Bader is just—he's crazy.
He's the master.
He's unbelievable. He is.
Oh, that's so bad. Limey, you missed the rim shot.
He scored from second base on a grounder to and it was a high pop grounder to the second baseman.
Yeah.
The guy scores all the way from second base. I forgot who was in front of him. He almost ran him over.
I think it was Jerko. Yeah.
Jerko.
I wonder how much teasing he got in high school. Jerko.
There's
through all of school.
Jerko and Bader.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Oh, man.
Jed Jerko. Huh?
I know.
Well, better than Dick.
Richard Jerko.
Thank goodness his parents weren't that cruel.
Oh.
That would have been cruel.
That's hilarious. But you know, we're gonna be here late tonight. It's gonna be a beautiful night. That's cooled off. It's beautiful. And God washed all the cars off. They look beautiful with that man, but it was a traffic day. What a brutal morning. It took me 45 minutes to get in this morning, but you know, but honestly, I was listening to the sports show in the morning.
That's a good show. That's actually a really good show.
They are hilarious.
Well, they're not hilarious, but it's a good show.
They're funny. Oh, they're funny. Okay, all right. So you're hilarious.
No.
They're really funny. You know?
Okay, we'll take that. What's that phone number?
Yeah, I was just hoping you'd ask. 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 24/7, 365 at lawndoff.com. You want to know, folks, AM and the PM, we love you. You're the best. And, again, we wouldn't be the same without this show and the AM and the PM crowd, Franco.
Well, back at you. And you're open late tonight. Get ready. Tomorrow night. What is today? No, Wednesday. You are open late tonight.
We'll be here hard at it again all day tomorrow until 6:30, and then all day Friday, the end of the month.
Okay.
31st of August, Friday. Saw another great sponsor, Jim Lomax Jr., Window World. And we're talking about they getting out for lunch, you and he and I and the John Gillette. And, man, you can't find nicer people. That's why we have Window
Free
World
windows.
Products here at the dealership, Window World products at my house. All right, goodbye.
Okay, thank you. He realized he'd gone 29 minutes over, so he bailed. John Lonoff. Of course, can I catch up on something real quick?
Of course, feel free.
And then we'll bring Dr. Doug right in here. This won't take me long at all. This is easy for me because I've gone to this place for 45 years. Ballast Dental Care, that's what I'm talking about. 45 years of patients. If they closed, I'm not kidding, I don't know how in the world I would choose another place to go to the dentist. And I don't know why I just thought of that, because I never think that way. I think, well, they're just going to go on, and they've got plenty of people. They've got three great dentists, and if Dr. Obi-Wan Kenobi Watanabe decides to hang it up, I'll go to Dr. Haynes, Dr. Olivier, I'll just keep going there because it's great. But what if they, for some weird reason, the whole place just closed? I don't know how I would begin to look for another dental clinic that would even come close to this one. I'm not kidding. I know, and I hear the commercials and see them like you do. And I know that other dentists talk a good game, and a lot of them do it because of the fact that Ballast Dental Care came on this show many, many, many years ago, 15, 16, 18, whatever it was ago. So all these other dentists start advertising, and they try to sound similar. They're not the same. Some of them are fine, I'm sure. Maybe pretty good. I don't want to ever have to find another dentist. Now, I guess if I moved to Alaska, I might have. No, you know what? I wouldn't. I could just fly in here twice a year and go to the dentist. But see, that's how great an experience it is, and how pleasant it is, that once you make an appointment and once you've had a visit, you've visited there one time, even if it's just a checkup and a cleaning, you're not going to want to go back wherever you went before. You may have thought you had an okay dentist. You haven't been here yet. Make an appointment. It's easy. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com.
How much is that jar in the window?
Getting here a little late. There's not a call, and I understand why, because we're later than usual getting in here. We can thank John Londo for that, or blame him for that. So I'm going to give the phone numbers, and the smart pet owners will call as soon as they hear these. 314-821-0590. Let me do that again. 314-821-0590. Now, if that doesn't work, call this one. And it will, because all the lines are open. 855-282-TALK. That's 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. If you have a pet, I don't care if it's a bird, since we were talking about birds, or whatever it is. He'll be happy to help you. He's brought to you by, and John Londo just mentioned him, Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, how is everyone today?
Doing fantastic, doctor. How you doing?
I am A.M. in the P.M.
Of course. Now, before we take calls, we spent a lot of time talking about birds. I don't even remember how we got on it. The subject of birds, bird houses, and kinds of birds, bird watchers, and all this stuff. But there were a couple of questions we wanted to ask Dr. Doug. And do you remember what they were? This pellet, what's the falcon?
It is the peregrine falcon.
I've never heard of it, but I understand we have them here, and the guy called from downtown, and he loves to watch them. He says it's the fastest thing on the planet, like 300 miles an hour it flies. Is that true?
He didn't say that fast.
Yeah, he did. He said 300 miles an hour.
Yeah, he did.
No, he absolutely did.
My bad.
He said 300 miles an hour.
Yeah. They used to be naturally here, and then travel along the rivers and stuff, but when DDT was used as an insecticide, it destroyed the strength of their eggs, and it almost made them extinct. And then the World Bird Sanctuary that's out in Eureka area, they were breeding these in captivity and resurrected them and brought them in. And they planted them around downtown St. Louis because they kill the pigeons, the excess pigeon population. So they nest on top of the old Southwestern Bell building and all places like that. And it was a real success story. Huh. And they're amazing birds. They're small birds. They're falcons. So they have kind of pointed, tapered wings. And they, you know, usually are living in kind of on the cliffs and stuff. So they'll just soar straight down. And I don't know what their speed is, but they are amazing flyers and amazing hunters.
Do people hate pigeons just because they poop everywhere? Is that why they hate them?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that's really it, that they're just, they can become so much, you know, and they're just overwhelming, and then they poop all over the beautiful buildings, and it's a pain in the tush.
Because they're not ugly. It's not like a turkey vulture. They're actually pretty.
Yeah. Pigeons. I like turkey vultures, though. Those are great.
You mean to eat?
No, just to hang with.
Oh, okay.
Be friends with.
All right.
Go ahead, I was going to say.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say what turkey vultures, in fact, all vultures, one of their defense mechanisms when they get scared, and if you try and grab one, then they vomit on you.
No.
And they have all that putrefied meat that they eat. You know, they eat carrion dead stuff, so it's not fun. Yeah. It happened to me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let's take some calls. Now, folks, the lines are all full, but as soon as somebody drops off, you know what to do. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Let's talk to Margaret. Margaret, say hello to Dr. Doug. Margaret?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Margaret.
I have a mixed breed
It is a Basset Hound and a Boston Terrier, and he's about 3 years old. And when we got him, he would like bunch up a blanket. We would put it on the floor, and then he would suck on it. And he has been doing that for a little over a year now. Is that just a security thing, or what causes him to do that?
Yeah, what I see that with cats and dogs that have been taken from their mother too soon before they're through with the normal nursing period. So we don't know the history on this one, obviously, but that's characteristically what happens. And, you know, if they're nursing and then for some reason someone decides to rescue them or get a home for them and remove from the mom too early, then that would probably encourage him to do that.
My daughter has a cat that does the same thing, and that's what happened. The cat was taken from its mother too soon, and it'll suck on a blanket.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still
so
sucking on blankets.
It's not something I need to worry about. It's not an issue that needs to be
addressed. Not anything horrible, apparently.
Not an issue.
Okay.
All right, Margaret, thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Margaret just hung up, which means the line opened up. Bob is here. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. Hi, Frank. Hi, Dan.
Bob.
Bob.
And everybody else. Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. I've got a cockatoo, a bird that likes to eat my earwax. And I've noticed that after a little while, he starts pooping candles. I was wondering if that's a problem.
Cut him off. Never fails. Never fails.
Go ahead.
314-821 for legitimate callers with pets and people who have legitimate questions. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. While we load the phones back up after that loser hung up, we're asking the question about birds and how many birds there are and where the dead birds go. And why don't we see dead birds? We see other dead things. We see, like, armadillos. I've yet to see a live armadillo in Missouri. Not one live one.
I've only ever seen a squashed armadillo.
Yeah, well, that's what I've seen. So is that true, Doctor, that the birds, they die, but as soon as they die, something gobbles them up so fast, we don't ever walk around seeing a bunch of dead birds.
Yeah, I really think that's it. There's not a whole lot of muscle mass to a lot of birds and most species, and I think they just break down very, very quickly and disappear because other birds, like crows and things, are going to gobble them up, and also, you know, mammals will look for carrion. We call carrion just kind of dead meat material.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And the armadillos, I think we've mentioned this before, but their defense in the wild is to jump straight up. And so when they're underneath a car and they feel threatened, they jump straight up and they knock themselves out and they get run over.
Yeah,
and
pretty stupid.
That's why they die. Yeah,
pretty stupid.
I have seen a live one right by Rockwood Reservations. It's kind of cool.
I have a friend that has one that tears up his landscaping, and he says he'll catch it like just before dark, because I think they like to do their damage at night. And yeah. And he says instead of, like, clawing or digging, it uses its body like a spiral auger. And it, like, rolls, and its shell becomes like a drill.
Yeah, they're very destructive that way. You're right. And I don't know how it'll impact us now that they're here. I mean, you know, it took them a couple of years to get settled here, but they're frequent. You go down Highway 55 or now out by us in Rockwood area and Wildwood, boy, it's just horrible.
And they're ugly. It's interesting to me that we have a lot less empathy and care less if we see an armadillo got hit. But if you see a puppy that got hit by a car, oh, no, a puppy got hit by a car. Armadillo, who cares? We don't care because they're ugly. When something is ugly, we don't get, you love them.
Oh, they're so cool.
Is an armadillo very similar to a possum with a shell?
Not at all. Not at
no?
all.
Oh,
possums,
okay.
Possums are marsupials.
Yeah, okay. Dan.
Oh. Yeah, did you think a possum had a shell?
No, no, I said, are they similar to a possum with a shell?
Right. And,
what he said.
Oh.
And the armadillos are kind of more
insectivorous. They eat insects and they browse through roots and stuff like that.
All right, let's talk to Chuck. Chuck, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug. Hey, Chuck, AM and PM.
Thank you, Chuck.
What you got?
Well, I got a it's about a 7-8-year-old Havanese that my wife and daughter picked up from one of those used dog stores or whatever.
Used dog store.
She's like, yeah. She's a little quirky, banged up dog, but she's fun, good dog. But she likes to run around in the yard and sniff out like earthworms, and then just starts rolling around in them. Like it's like a cat with catnip. It's the craziest thing. I don't know what's that about.
You know, I don't have an answer for it, but I've seen a lot of dogs that do that, and they like to rub and poop. I think if it just has kind of a scent of the dirt and stuff, it kind of something they like and turns them on. So, I think I saw Dan rolling around in the grass one time.
I could do
the same thing.
I've done that.
Very possible.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, she doesn't eat them or anything, she'll sniff out like rabbit poop or something and start rolling in that too. And just kind of quirky thing, whatever. But anyway, no harm, right?
But anyway,
no harm at all.
You're cool. Awesome.
Chuck.
Well, thank you, Doug.
Thank you for the call, Chuck.
Thank you.
Bye bye. So took my grandson. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we had a pet squirrel that we found in the backyard years ago. His name was Chuck. So the kids would go up, Chuck, up, Chuck.
That's a good one.
It's true.
That's a good one. My grandson for a motor scooter ride down the road where we live, and there's a piece of property, and the people have horses, and I'm going to say they have five horses. Three of the horses were on their backs on the ground with their legs in the air, writhing around, scratching their backs on the ground. I've seen a horse do that occasionally, but three of them were doing it. What was that about?
Well, was it after a rain or something where they
You know what? I think it was.
Yeah, I think they're just kind of taking advantage of that feeling, and it feels good, and they're just kind of, you know.
It just seems funny to see a horse on its back with the hooves up in the air. You don't see that every day. Let's get Carl in here. Carl, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you, Carl?
I'm doing great. I've got a question for you, and then I've got some advice for a radio talk show host.
We'd love to hear both, the question and the advice. Start with the question.
Okay, the question is, I've had a bunch of dogs, and I've always kidded around and said, you know, I wish these dogs were a little bit more like wolves. You know, they've gotten so domesticated. How much is being done with breeding wolves with dogs and coming up with some new lines?
Well, there's still a lot of private pet owners that do exotics in around the country, actually, and they do. You can still see, if you know where to search, where they have a dog wolf combinations, and they're usually, they say that they're, you know, so many percentage points of wolf versus dog depending on how they bred them. So that's really not going to make I don't think you're trying to talk about improving the breed, the dog, or a particular dog breed. I'm not sure that that's ever been the intent of these guys. So, it's hard to find a pure wolf. I have seen some pure wolves and high wolf crosses in my clinic over the years, and they are definitely a different animal, very different than dogs. And they kind of herd you. They kind of, you know, they're kind of always processing you and kind of figuring out.
They're scaring
what
you. Is what they're doing. They're scaring.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably. They're a very social animal, right? They work in big groups and they have a very distinct social order. So I think they try and put us into their social structure.
Let me ask you this: since Carl asked about the wolf, does anybody ever bred like a dog and a coyote? Aren't they the same thing? Aren't they same?
Oh, sure.
Family?
Yeah. There's koi dogs all over the place. That we even find feral dogs that have bred with coyotes and have created what we call a koi dog. And you can kind of tell what they look like. Typically, there's enough coyote look that you get a good sense that they were probably bred that way.
All right. Carl, does that help?
That helps a lot.
Hi, Carl.
I just was hoping Yo, wait a minute. Don't bother.
Oh, no, no, no. Host. Advice for talk show hosts. Yes, we're all ears. Go ahead.
Are there any talk show hosts over there? I guess there's probably at least one, right?
There are four of us here.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, this has got to do with the phone numbers. And it's just a little advice. I'm fairly well educated, and I was going to call today. I listen to your show every day on the way home from work.
Okay.
And I just want you to know that when you're talking about your phone numbers, mm-hmm. You'll give one number, then the other number, and then you'll say, and it's such and such talk. So I counted them up in my head while I'm driving here on Highway 44. There's like 39 numbers and letters that you give, like, within a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to remember that. I know when I went to dial, which I normally don't know that I've called one time before, I had to kind of try a couple of different numbers. And I would just leave some of that, separate that out a little bit. I think it's confusing to people when it's all at one time.
Well, here's why I disagree. First of all, you're the only person, the first and only person, who's ever said that. And second, yeah. It's two phone numbers. If that's it, it's only two. If I only give one, and that's the one they call, they'll miss an opportunity to get in on the other one that might be free. So I'm eliminating half the potential callers by giving one number. Now, I could pause and separate the two, 314-821-0590. Pause. 855-282-TALK. But I have to say that that also is 855-282-8255 because a lot of people don't like the TALK thing. They don't have to go figure out what numbers those are.
Right.
So that's it. It's only two numbers. Thank you. I appreciate the advice, and I'll give that some thought.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Carl. And Ernie. Ernie, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
AM and the PM.
Thank you, Ernie.
Hallelujah.
How are you, Ernie?
I'm trying to stay dry today. It's been a tough job.
Good.
I've got a 5-year-old... tree walking coonhound.
Whoa.
And
hold on a second. What does that mean, tree walking?
That's the breed.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, it looks like a cross between a Brittany and a St. Bernard. He's about 67 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty dog. But he has this bad habit when we go out in the yard. He likes to chew on limbs and branches, and I'm just wondering if that can be harmful. I'm thinking of a splintering down his throat and that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my dogs do the same thing, and they're little ones. They're little French bulldogs, and they just love to chew on the sticks and stuff. But
right.
I really think it's basically harmless. Now, certainly they could get a stick that fractures or fragments and could get stuck. I mean, I wouldn't encourage it, but,
right.
Just kind of watch it and monitor it, and they just seem to enjoy that.
Yeah, we try and dissuade it whenever possible, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, so, I mean, theoretically, it could pose a problem. It's one of those situations, it ain't a problem until it's a problem. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Hey, so, Ernie, are you a coon hunter?
No, I'm not a hunter at all. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I just thought with that dog and that name, maybe that you were. And I don't think that's as popular here as when I grew up in Tennessee. Lots of people went coon hunting, but I don't think that's a big thing here.
Well, my daughter found the dog, and she fell in love and brought it home.
Hey, you can't fight that. Thank you, Ernie, for listening and for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. John is next. John, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Dr. Doug, how are you?
Good, John. How about you?
Real good. AM in the PM.
Thank you, John.
How can I help you?
I've got a question. I've got a 12-year-old hybrid, half Coton de Tulleur and half Shih Tzu. And
there's a mouthful. Coton de Tulleur, whatever that was.
Yeah, it really is.
Say that again. Say that again. What's the name of that dog?
Coton de Tulleur. Catan, okay, I'm sorry. Catan de Tulleur, yeah.
Okay.
Great dog, small dog, 20 pounds, but he's a great dog. other dog. The only problem with this dog is he is a yapper. I mean, he barks at the wind sometimes. And I'm pretty proficient in training dogs, but I've never been able to train that out of him. The question is, if we get another dog, we want the same size dog. Which side does that barking come from, the Shih Tzu or the Koton?
You know, I have seen. We have a number of Katans that come to us and Shih Tzus, and you know, I would state that it could be either, because they're both small breed dogs, and I don't see that one is more, you know, there's a greater preponderance of that kind of behavior with one or the other. They're kind of both similar kind of breeds, and they're lovely dogs. The Katans are absolutely beautiful. But yeah, no, I can't tell you that it's one or the other. But, and I know we've talked about this before, some people are terribly against a bark collar, but they can be useful if they're managed correctly and use the management, talk to a trainer at one of the pet shops or someplace, and just make sure you do it correctly. I think it can be used as a very useful tool for training away that kind of behavior.
We tried that when he was 3 or 4, and the dog liked the collar.
He liked the zap.
Wow, that's like saying the dog loves the invisible fence. He loves to run through it and get shocked. Woo.
Wow. That's a different dog.
He would walk around the house and yap, and then just shake his head and look real happy and kind of prance, and then bark again and yap. He'd do it for hours. He's nuts.
So it sounds like you're going to end up with two dogs yapping all over the place, because he'll probably train the other one to do the same thing.
Well, I'm kind of afraid of that, but is there a small breed that is not, by nature is not a yapper, like a Havanese or something? Or?
Well, there are a lot of them. I think it really is more about the independent, the individual's personality, but Maltese are great little dogs. They're very bright, they're very sturdy and healthy. They don't really shed much.
But they're really little, aren't they? I mean, Maltese are really small.
Probably, I would say 7 to 12 pounds somewhere there. So, but he wants little dogs. So,
yeah, so I kind of want something around 20 pounds, 20, 25 pounds, but...
Yeah.
Mike, I'll tell you why your dog's crazy, because it's half Shih Tzu. Did you say it's half Shih Tzu?
Mm. Yeah.
That's the crazy half right there. Those dogs are nuts. Sorry to everybody who has a Shih Tzu, but I can say this because I had one, and it's the one dog I couldn't wait to give away. We gave it to my wife's mother. Man, that dog was just the craziest. I don't have to describe it. It's just the dog was nuts.
Right.
And always had something wrong with it. Its eye was hurt. Its ear was bleeding, or the paw was, the thing was just, Shih Tzu.
It was great for us.
Yeah, well, yeah, you made a lot of money off of that dog. But it wouldn't do anything either. Come here, you know, like a cat. It was more like a cat. It wouldn't do anything. Roll over, it'll look at you like, what does that mean? So that's your problem. It's half Shih Tzu.
Well, you just answered my question for me then, because I'll get a pure-blooded Katan then.
Thank there you go. Much. It even sounds nicer. You don't have to. It doesn't have the S-H-I-T word in the name either. So I'd say go for that. John, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We can get Mike in here. We can still get Mike in. Mike, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Welcome to 590 The Fan.
Dr. Doug, hello. AM and PM.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Two quick questions. Hey, Dr. Doug, two quick questions. One, you call a female dog, pardon my language, a bitch.
No, you don't have to pardon. You don't have to ask for pardon. That's perfectly acceptable. It is a bitch.
Bitch.
That's right.
And so what do you call a female cat?
That's a, you know what?
A queen.
Hold on.
Queens.
Is that true?
Yep.
This is a great, this is a great question. That question has never come up, has it? We all know the female dog. Is there a name for a doctor, a male dog, or a male cat's a Tom, right?
Yeah, a male dog would be a stud.
According to Wikipedia, female cats are either called Molly or Queen.
Okay, Molly or Queen.
Right.
And the male is a Tom, and the female dog is a bitch. What's a male dog? No name. No name, just dog.
Yeah.
See, made you guys think today.
Made us think. Don't ever do that again.
They're called a sire. Right.
Sire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a sire.
A sire is not specific to dogs, though.
A horse can be a sire.
Yeah, yeah. That would be any breeding male.
That is true.
Yeah. Like myself, I'm a sire.
Yeah, aren't we all? Sure you are.
I'm a retired sire.
Hey, Dr. Doug, how do you know when a cat has feline AIDS?
There's a blood test for it, and they have to be at least 4 months old.
Okay. You just can't tell by looking at them or
no,
behaviors or anything? Okay.
Well, no, I mean, they get sick eventually because it lowers the immune system, and they're prone to more chronic recurring.
Wait, is this a thing? A cat AIDS? Is this actually
feline
a thing?
AIDS, it's called feline immunologic disease, but it's like feline AIDS. And
is it one of those... just lesbian cats or all?
Anybody can get it.
But, does your cat, have you ever caught your cat munching the carpet?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Come on,
hey, animals chew the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They do. I've seen it.
Chewing and munching.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just curious. This cat is extremely slim. I mean, almost to the point where you can see his bones. But he seems healthy. The vet says he's fine, but he doesn't eat a lot. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a mouth tooth issue. I'm not sure, but he's been that way for 8 years.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it.
I mean, I was going to say, I don't know what your veterinarian has done to make some diagnostic work done, but I mean, you can test him with a blood test. It might be something else. You can do a general blood exam just to see if there are any other organs that aren't working right. And then, of course, x-rays, urinalysis, and or an ultrasound would be other good diagnostic tools that will lead you towards your issue. And the other thing is, although it's you said he's only 8 years old now?
Yeah, they live to be like 20, don't they?
They can, yeah. But I was going to say, if it was an older cat, then when their thyroids go super-duper, then their metabolic rate increases, they can lose weight, but that wouldn't happen until they're 8 to 10 or older. So this sounds like it's been going on most of the cat's life. But I think you can check them out and just rule out the most obvious things. And part of it might be a genetic characteristic, like I'm very handsome and my brother isn't. So, genetics.
Mike, we got to run. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Adios. Thanks, guys.
I got 1 minute for Tony. If we can do it in a minute. Tony, you got a minute. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug and everybody else. Real quick, I have a 9-year-old rescue dog. He's part a little of everything, but he has a little chow in him. But at any rate...
I apologize. Retracted.
Okay. Oh, okay. How's it? Anyway.
There we go. See?
Anyway.
That was anyway. That was real.
I asked for it, though. I asked for it. See,
you're right. He did ask for it. Edit that out. Makes you look stupid. Edit it.
Radio edit.
Okay. Hi, Tony. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Hi, everybody. A year or so ago, my nine-year-old mixed breed rescue dog had an ear infection. So we treated it, and it got better. It came back a few months later, and I gave him some more of this medicine, and that seemed to clear it up. He seems to be okay. The problem, or I don't know if it's a problem or not, but his right ear, that ear that it had been infected, it's kind of bent over all the time. In fact, people point out and kind of laugh and joke about it. So look at his ear. It's flopped over. Is that possibly a concern?
And
again, it doesn't seem to bother him.
It's not a concern, but I often see that when a dog is, or a cat, in fact, has had a issue that we call an ear hematoma. And what can happen is little vessels break from the dog scratching at the leaf of the ear, you know, the big fan part. And that can, when that's healed, that can actually become scar tissue. So that could cause it to fold over. So it's not a problem. It's just, you'll always know your critter in a crowd because it's the one with the bent ear.
And we got to run. Tony, oh, yeah. Tony, thank you for, thanks for calling.
It.
Thanks for listening with Dr. Doug. Thank you. We'll do it again next week. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Window World, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues and the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Playhouse is coming up right after the news. Don't go anywhere. Call your friends and neighbors. Of course, we have another joke we have not told since we've been here. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone. The 590 The Fan, KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn under cloudy skies. It is 73 degrees outside at 5 o'clock. We're just minutes away from hour number 3.